The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. You know, yesterday I was talking about how it was sort of in that zen mode in which I just kind of had a sense of peace that came over me on election morning, even though everything was like screaming at me, oh my gosh, this could go so wrong, and that ends up that the feeling of peace ended up being the right way to look at it. It's a great night, President Trump 2.0, and we got a few minutes. He gave a great speech last night. Wonderful.
Most of all, I want to thank the millions of hardworking Americans across the nation who have always been the heart and soul of this really great movement. We've been through so much together, and today you showed up in record numbers to deliver a victory like, really, I probably like no other. This was something special, and we're going to pay you back. We're going to do the best job. We're going to turn it around. It's got to be turned around. It's got to be turned around fast, and we're going to turn it around. We're going to do it in every way, with so many ways, but we're going to do it in every way. This will forever be remembered as the day the American people regained control of their country. So I just want to say that on behalf of this great group of people, these are hardworking people, these are fantastic people, and we can add a few names like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again. And now he's a great guy, and he really means it. He wants to do some things, and we're going to let him go to it. I just said, but Bobby, leave the oil to me. We have more liquid gold, oil and gas. We have more liquid gold than any country in the world, more than Saudi Arabia. We have more than Russia. Bobby, stay away from the liquid gold. Other than that, go have a good time, Bobby. We're going to be paying down debt. We're going to be reducing taxes. We can do things that nobody else can do. Nobody else is going to be able to do it. China doesn't have what we have. Nobody has what we have. But we have the greatest people also. Maybe that's the most important thing. This campaign has been so historic in so many ways. We've built the biggest, the broadest, the most unified coalition. They've never seen anything like it in all of American history. They've never seen any young and old, men and women, rural and urban. And we had them all helping us tonight, when you think. I mean, I was looking at it. I was watching it. They had some great analysis of the people that voted for us. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. They came from all corners, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment, uniting citizens of all backgrounds around a common core of common sense. You know, we're the party of common sense.
I like
that
line.
We want to have borders. We want to have security. We want to have things be good, safe. We want great education. We want a strong and powerful military, and ideally we don't have to use it. You know, we had no wars. 4 years we had no wars, except we defeated ISIS. We defeated ISIS in record time, but we had no wars. They said, he will start a war. I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. But this is also a massive victory for democracy and for freedom. Together we're going to unlock America's glorious destiny. We're going to achieve the most incredible future for our people. Yesterday, as I stood at my last stop on the campaign trail, I'll never be doing a rally again. Can you believe it? I think we've done 900 rallies approximately from them. Can you imagine? 900, 901, something, a lot of rallies. And it was sad. Everybody was sad. Many people, I said, this is our last rally. But now we're going on to something that's far more important, because the rallies were used for us to be put in this position where we can really help our country. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make our country better than it ever has been. And I said that many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission. The task before us will not be easy, but I will bring every ounce of energy, spirit, and fight that I have in my soul to the job that you've entrusted to me. This is a great job. There's no job like this. This is the most important job in the world. Just as I did in my first term, we had a great first term, a great, great first term. I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises. Nothing will stop me from keeping my word to you, the people. We will make America safe, strong, prosperous, powerful, and free again. And I'm asking every citizen all across our land to join me in this noble and righteous endeavor. That's what it is. It's time to put the divisions of the past 4 years behind us. It's time to unite. And we're going to try. We're going to try. We have to try. And it's going to happen. Success will bring us together. I've seen that. I've seen that. I saw that in the first term when we became more and more successful. People started coming together. Success is going to bring us together, and we are going to start by all putting America first. We have to put our country first for at least a period of time. We have to fix it, because together we can truly make America great again for all Americans. So I want to just tell you what a great honor this is. I want to thank you. I will not let you down. America's future will be bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than it has ever been before. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much.
Great speech. Great speech from President Trump. Incoming President Trump. Trump 2.0, you want to call it that. And Vicky, you went to bed last night not knowing how it was going to go. How did you feel this morning, waking up?
Oh, my God. I am so happy, grateful, and like President Trump said, blessed. There was a reason God kept him on this earth, and I believe that we're all going to see it. And when I say all, I don't just mean Republicans. I mean, hopefully the Democrats will realize after he starts turning this country around that they have been brainwashed for the last 6, 7, 8, 10 years, however long it's been, and realize that he isn't the devil or a Nazi or anything else. He has prospered himself from this country, and he's going to do that for all of us again.
From your lips. And at this point, I don't know how the left is going to react. I noticed that it's all quiet on the Western Front for right now. I haven't heard much about Antifa getting all sporty up in Portland yet. Maybe that's about to change. We don't know. It's going to be an interesting time. I'll be curious to see what ends up happening on in the lawfare world, because remember, Colonel retired John Mills yesterday was talking about the battle now is to get seated and certified and all the rest, and he's expecting possibly lawfare. But he's also on track to win the popular vote, too. That's the way it's looking right now. So,
you know, my daughter's never voted. She's almost 40. And I called her and I said, Ashley, now you know my daughter's name. This is so important. I know that your generation thinks that your votes don't count and they don't matter, but they do.
Yep, sure counted this time, Vicky. I appreciate the call. Glad you talked to your daughter about that, too. We have much to be thankful for this morning, okay? It's 19 minutes after 6. 770-5633. Eric Peters will join me. And maybe we can make out of the automotive industry great again. We'll have to have a little talk about that, a bunch more. Richard Evans joins me from the Oregon Eagle. We'll kind of break down the local elections. And it was a pretty good night, especially in Josephine County. Republican sweep. We'll talk about that. Herman will join me with a little bit more on that story. If there was a bit of a disappointment last night, it's what's going on in the city of Phoenix. I'm really kind of upset about that. Terry Baker apparently going down to defeat. And I don't know if the commie crazies have taken over Phoenix, if we're looking at the Ashland talent and now the blob sweeps into, that section of the South County. Not sure. We'll have to have some conversation on that over the next weeks. None of the Republicans ended up winning statewide races. I was hoping that there was going to be enough depressed voter turnout in Multnomah County and Washington County and Clackamas County to make a difference, but no, it doesn't appear to be happening at this point. We will talk about the measures here. Some good news and some not so good news, but most of it was pretty good. We'll have that kicking around here, too. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Your smile is the key to your health.
Come on, KMED.
23 minutes after 6, 770-5633. Post-election day 2024, great night nationally. Looks like GOP has control of the Senate. The House still kind of in a... we're not quite sure. Not quite sure about that. We'll find out. One of the races, a 5th congressional district in Oregon, is in play right now. The current Dreamer may go down. We don't know. She's losing slightly at this point, but we'll just kind of have to keep an eye because all the votes are not counted yet. It's election season in Oregon. how that goes. Measure 115, the authorization of the impeachment that ended up passing. I think it's kind of a dumb one, but, it's just, voters have spoken, 63% on that one. Measure 116, the Independent Service Commission, Compensation Commission, so the Democrats could get their pay raises without having to ask for it. That went down 53% at this reading. One of the best things that happened in yesterday's election, Measure 117, ranked choice voting down in flames. That was such a dangerous and so much dark left-wing money coming from out of town to try to get that passed. Didn't happen. Measure 118, increasing the corporate minimum taxes and then giving everybody a $1,600 per person bribe each year. That went down. Now, when I say it went down, it could be going down unless there's a whole bunch of manufactured Democratic votes that will come in after the fact. But that does appear to be going down, all right? And Measure 119, the cannabis retailers have to remain neutral. In other words, shutting up. I think it's unconstitutional. Maybe it'll be, to tell the employers that you're not allowed to talk to your employees about in the labor negotiations and such. That appears to be passing, but maybe someone will take it on and it will be declared unconstitutional. Okay? All right. You go to line two. Don't know who's there, but feeling pretty good. Just a little sleepy. Imagine everybody else is a little sleepy this morning, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill. It's Vicky again. I just wanted to know how much...
Hey, Vic, what's that now? Real quick, because I already had you on. Okay?
Yeah. How much was did Trump get the electoral? I wasn't able to.
Let me look it up. I hadn't updated it from overnight. I'll get back to you on that. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Let me go to line one. Hi, KMED. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You're on. Who's this?
This is Earl.
Hey, Earl. Welcome. Earl from Central Point now. Right.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. The House. They say. The Republicans won by 20 points, 197 to 177.
Okay, what are you talking about?
You have to have 218 for a majority. How is a 20-point difference not a majority?
Well, I think what it is they're not calling everything yet at this point, Earl. Let me look it up. I don't have that national. I'm not paying as much attention to the national election as I am. I mean, yeah, we got the presidency, the Senate has been won. I'm not sure about your math at this point. I'll have to get back to you on it. Okay. All right. Let me go to line three. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Holly Morton calling, Josephine County.
Boy, good night for you folks, huh?
Oh man, sweet. We got Chris Barnett and Ron Smith both in. as commissioners, and they are going to be great. Both of them are absolutely going to be fantastic. So we're very happy about that. And kind of a new guy on the scene, Mark DeYoung, is going to be our new treasurer.
And that's pretty interesting, given that there was some controversy in which the current treasurer was dragging feet on producing public records. And I think that actually resonated with some people about wanting to make a change there in Joe County.
No doubt about that. And, you know, Mark DeYoung's got banking business. He was a bank manager of Wells Fargo Bank for quite some time. So a lot of local people knew him just from banking, and great guy. He works in our Republican Party office. Just a wonderful man. But some of the surprises were that in the city council, Clint Scherf took the mayor, Sarah Bristol, out in a big way. You know, like, I think he got 56% or 55% of the vote, something like that. Did a great, great job. And I think he's going to be fantastic. He's a former city council member.
Yeah.
But then when you go down through our city council, we got Indra Nicholas, wonderful gal. She won soundly. Everybody did soundly. Victoria Marshall got about 56% of the vote. She'll be one of the new council members. Eric Schlogel got almost 100% of the vote, of course, because he was
running unopposed there. Overall, it was just everybody that GOP and Josephine County endorsed ended up winning. Yep. Is that right?
Kathleen Crone won against Vanessa Ogier, who's the current president of the city council.
So, I mean, it's essentially, I guess the ink that the Daily Courier editorial page is going to be written on today is going to be what, the tears of Scott Stoddard, huh?
Well, you know what's really the crowning glory of the evening was they sent a team of people over to our private party. We had a huge party. Hundreds of people turned out.
Yeah.
It was absolutely thrilling. And so they sent a team over, and one of our people, I shouldn't name her because she might be embarrassed, but she went and just threw them out.
Really?
Yep. She basically said, look, this is a private party. You know, you can't be here. And they said, well, don't you want your joy to be captured? And she said, the Daily Courier never captures our joy. All they do is
they would find something to complain about.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, anyway, take the victory lap, and worked pretty well in Jackson County too. Randy Sparacino ended up getting that county commission seat. That was the only county commission seat in play, and we have Mayor Michael Zarasinski in Medford, and a couple of other council races, including Kevin Keating, and that went well. So it went pretty well. I'm a little concerned about what's going on in the city of Phoenix in Jackson County. It appears that there is a leftist push and takeover there with that. But of course, that's been something which has been spreading from the south of Jackson County for quite some time. Josephine County, you seem to be pretty safe at the moment. Okay.
Well, you know what we found out this time is that when Republicans really stand together and say this is what we want to do, pay attention, and everybody works on it, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. And that goes the same for Phoenix and other yep. communities.
I would also add, it helps to have more of you, okay? that's also part of it, okay? Holly, thank you. And we'll be talking more about this plenty more. It's 6:30. Let me grab a couple more calls here before news. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Randy.
Randy. Randy in Ashland in the South County. How are you?
That would be me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing pretty well.
By the way, you ready to pay for some more on those big water bonds that passed last night in Ashland?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, in Ashland, if they want to spend money, the people will let them do it. Two things. We need to pool our resources and send a case of crying tells to The View.
Okay.
But on the serious side,
you know, we're going to have, you know, the thing is, you remind me, we're going to have to watch The View today just to see how they're handling this, because even Kamala has not done a concession speech yet. She ditched her people last night.
I know. I heard that.
And that was just like what Hillary did in 2016. Would not talk to the people that night, which is kind of poor.
Yeah.
That's poor campaigning, in my view. And, you know, you go out there and you say, hey, you worked your butt off. Thank you very much. In spite of the fact that we're losing our tails, but still.
Yeah. Okay. So here's something that nobody's going to talk about.
Okay. What's that?
The number of votes cast all night last night, turnout, the best turnout that we've seen in forever, and it's still 20 million votes less than what the Biden-Trump election. So there were 20 million manufactured votes in that election in 2020.
Arguably much more enthusiasm this time around. But, yeah, that does give you pause, doesn't it? But remember, nothing to see. Move along. And, you know, now come here.
Well, that's what I'm.
Yeah, no election denying that. Okay, not allowed. And, you know, people were really watching closely. And I'm not saying that there, you know, that there is nothing, because every election has some kind of fraud and some hinky in it. But I think that there was there were many more eyes on the process this time. And I know that I think it was in Pennsylvania yesterday that they were locking out the Republican observers in some city. I'm not some area. I'm not exactly sure where this is. And then Lara Trump ended up hearing that the observers were being locked out and they were not being allowed. They just wouldn't let them in, right? And so Lara Trump ended up getting on the speed dial, called up the lawyers, and had that thing opened up for the Republican observers in about an hour or so, like right on it. We were not caught flat-footed this time, Randy, and that's a good thing.
Right. But my point was there were so many illegitimate votes during the Biden-Trump election. And I think that, like I said, nobody's going to talk about it, but it's just glaring, you know, the big red flashing light to me is that proves that that election was fraud.
All right. Appreciate the call, because we also have more people, too, including more illegal aliens now also. 6:33, let me grab a couple more calls. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ron Smith in Grants Pass.
Hey, Ron, congratulations. Good race.
Well, I that's what I want to talk about. Just a big, big congratulations and thank you to the Republican Party of Josephine County and all the voters in here that supported me. Been a long, long, hard fought, but we won.
Yep.
We won across the board, swept it right across the board.
So go ahead and you can go out and drink heavily. It's okay today, right? Just do it at home, all right?
thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, Rod. We'll be talking more, I'm sure. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Francine, how you feeling this morning, huh?
Well, I'm feeling so relieved.
Remember yesterday I was talking about feeling that Zen feeling, kind of a feeling of peace, and I just kind of let it all go because there's nothing you could do, you know, at that point. Ended up being the right thing, I guess. It's a good thing. Good thing.
Well, I have two little things I wanted to mention. One, I think your bumper song for today needs to be Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about this quite a bit. You know, the stolen election of 2020, in a way, it's almost really a good thing that happened, because the Dems really have outed themselves pretty seriously to the rest of the country. And anybody with half a brain that sees this, you know, we now can actually really present something to people, you know, that they blew it. They totally blew it. And Trump coming in now, when we really, really need somebody like him, and bringing Kennedy in for our health and stuff. I mean, I just think that this is really going to be.
So there's good. A possibility that it'll be more productive this time around with the current Trump regime, and also a Trump that is probably much smarter and wiser to the ways of the Trump of the swamp. Rather, you could be right about that. OK, good call. And we'll see if that ends up being the case. You know what we got to do, though, is check the prices of the pharmaceutical companies today. Watch those. I'll be curious, because with Bobby Kennedy, you know, Bobby Kennedy is probably going to be running roughshod on that situation. I'll be curious if the vaccine manufacturers are going to have as easy a ride over the next few years as they've had recently. Appreciate the call there, Francine. 6:35, you're on KMED 99.3 KBXG. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. That's IRS.com. And talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
For grace. It's a beautiful day.
We had to bring it back again. It's a beautiful day, U2 and Bono. I guess he's going to be driving his truck off a cliff. Isn't that right, Eric Peters? Welcome back.
Well, I guess we'll see, and it has yet to be determined whether Cher has packed her bags.
Well, one could only hope. One can only hope. It would improve the overall electorate quality, in my opinion. But needless to say, it was a great night, and I, you know, it was feeling the momentum yesterday, it felt like I was kind of in a zen mode yesterday. I don't know where you were. Other people were really nervous. I was kind of like, you know, I think it's going to be okay. It was just sort of a feel, and it ended up being right. And, of course, I could have been just like and you and I could have been like baby seals clubbed by the Democrats last night, but it ended up not happening. In fact, Orange Man almost did pretty well he did pretty well in Virginia, too. Wasn't quite able to pull out the electoral map there, but it wasn't bad from what I recall.
No, it was close. I think last time in 2020, Virginia went by 10 points to Biden. This time, I think it was only about 4. So that's a pretty significant change.
Eric Peters, once again, who I did not introduce, but he is automotive journalist and genius at epautos.com. And, naturally, the election is the conversation du jour right now. What's your overall feeling about this? Because you wrote a piece about this. Because last week we were talking about the possibility that Donald Trump may be able to single-handedly, through the regulatory system, save the automotive industry. And I think that's a possibility. What are you thinking now?
Well, now we'll see. That was the title of an article that I just posted a couple of hours ago. That essentially gets into, you know, we've heard a lot of positive-sounding talk from Trump, and I'll take him at his word, but it's important that we hold his feet to the fire and see what he actually does. You know, he has now got a mandate, if anybody ever did have a mandate. Not only did he win the Electoral College, my understanding is he won the popular vote, and it appears that that the Congress, both houses, potentially are going to be controlled by Republicans. So if that's not a mandate to do something, I don't know what is, and I hope that he begins to do things, particularly with regard to the car industry, and specifically with regard to things like the regulatory pushing of electric vehicles, the subsidization of electric vehicles, the denial of choice to Americans. You and I have talked before about that $13,000 Toyota Hilux pickup that we're not allowed to have because of all the regulatory folderol. I'd like to see him take down the barriers and allow Americans to have the opportunity to buy vehicles like that if that's what they'd like to do.
Not just make Americans great again, but make Americans free. And that also means free to buy, choose, and drive what we wish and not what some federal apparatchik wishes us to be driving.
Yeah, I'd like him to directly attack that because under the Constitution, Congress is supposed to write laws. We are not supposed to be ruled effectively by a permanent, unelected bureaucracy that effectively legislates via these things called regulations. How did that happen? I think Trump could make that case persuasively to the American people that, you know, if we're going to propose something, fine, let's put it on the table and discuss it, and let's let our elected representatives vote on it up or down, as opposed to just being told what we're going to be allowed to do and made to pay for by some bureaucrat in D.C.
Because everything that the EPA, as an example, is something which is technically supposed to be controlled by Congress. But what Congress has done over the years is that, hey, we don't want to be bothered with this. You just figure it out. And then you had the Chevron deference, which was that which gave and frankly, the Supreme Court ended up taking that down a notch or two, which more or less said, these are experts and we'll defer to their expertise, you know, that kind of thing, which means we essentially have had the tyranny and we still have the tyranny of the experts in this country right now. Still.
Yep. I think it's more than that they're just bothered or lazy. I think they don't want to be held accountable. And that goes for both sides. They don't want to have to face the voters who will say, well, wait a minute, you voted for this. We don't like this. We're going to vote you out. Instead, they're able to throw their hands up and say, well, I couldn't do anything. My hands were tied. The bureaucrats did this. Easy to blame the bureaucrats rather than just take responsibility for what you did or didn't do.
Well, it's like people who would say, I love my government. I love my government. But, you know, that IRS, that IRS is just, as if for some reason it's different from the government. You know, just like if I were to punch you in the face and Eric Peters says, you know, that Bill Meyer, pretty nice guy, but boy, that fist of his sure hurt. It hit me.
You know, I'm specifically interested to see, given, you know, Elon Musk is now Trump's new best friend, whether he's going to do something about this electric vehicle thing. And again, I have no issue as such with electric vehicles.
Except that he has a dog in the fight in the electric vehicle world, too, though. So it'll be curious to see where he comes down on these subsidizations, because everything about Elon is supposed to try to find a way to make the government more efficient and cheaper, right?
Exactly. Well, so let's start by letting Tesla try to sell electric vehicles on the merits. If people want to buy them, that's great. You know, you have every right to buy whatever you'd like. The issue is whether the government should be subsidizing them and forcing them on people.
Indeed. And now we'll see is the title of the premier article today on epautos.com. Now then, I just have to laugh. I just got a meme in from a friend of mine. It says, I haven't seen a man beat a woman this badly since the Olympics. Ed, thank you very much. It made me laugh. Boom, boom.
Well, they didn't fall for joy, you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, if we want to get into politics a little bit, I wrote something the other day about this. It's insipid, but it's also menacing, the way these leftists will couch their authoritarianism in terms of things like the good neighbor, you know, as if you're engaging in some sort of voluntary transaction with the folks next door. Oh, hey, can I borrow your wood chipper for a day? Yeah, sure, here you go. Mm-hmm. As opposed to shoving a bayonet in your back and saying, hand over your wood chipper. We're just going to use it the way we want, and we'll never give it back to
you. Yeah, that's the neighborliness of communists. In other words, Democrats mm-hmm. these days. We really have very few old-line Democrats left in the system, yep. unfortunately. It's just kind of the way it is. But yeah, that's why one of the funniest stories, which kind of put the lie to the neighborliness of communists. Did you hear that story? And I'm sure they're going to find the people that were doing this and probably charge them with some kind of election crime. But there were people that had Harris Wall signs out in their front yard, and then people would send them letters saying, "Oh, by the way, Kamala thanks you for helping all policies, and we're going to be sending an illegal alien family from Nicaragua to your home by October 30th, if you could make sure that you have food and shelter and everything else ready for them." But, you know, that is the communists are fine as long as the bums and everybody else are kept far away from their protected neighborhoods. Really,
yeah, it goes right down to it. They took it one step farther. Did you happen to see the videos where they had a couple of guys who are dressed up wearing the Harris Waltz T-shirts knocking on the door of people who had the Harris Waltz sign in their yard saying, you know, we're really grateful for your support, and in particular your support of immigrants. We want to thank you for that. And, of course, the people would say, yeah, sure, we're all on board with that. And then they'd have the car full of supposed, like, Hondurans.
I missed that. Oh, I've got to look those up.
The ultimate trolling. It even bested Trump's driving up to the rally in the garbage truck. Anyway, so they say, well, you know, we've got this family here of immigrants. You know, we'd like for you to maybe, you know, let them sleep on the floor here for a few days until they get situated.
Yeah. Well, you know, there were some novels that were written by a real right-wing guy a few years ago. What was it? Enemies of Both Foreign and Domestic, in which they talked about a future of America if the communists had taken over, in which people that had way too much housing, according to the apparatchiks and the communists in the party, you know, as it were, they would just redistribute rooms in your home to the to the people that needed it. And, you know, ultimately, if you take the Democratic Party's open borders policy to its ultimate conclusion, that's where you'd be going, really.
Well, yeah, one of the greatest classic movies of all times is Dr. Zhivago, and it gets into that exactly.
Exactly. Same sort of thing. The neighborliness of communists is the latest one, too, also on Epiatos. Hey, Eric, I have a listener who has emailed me a question mm-hmm. about a truck that they're looking at, and I'm going to share that email with you here in just a moment. Maybe we can kick it around, and if anybody else has some questions about some vehicles, maybe they're looking at here too, and we'll also get your latest review coming up in the next couple of minutes. So just hang on for the break. This is the Bill Meyer Show with Eric Peters on Wheels Up Wednesday on KMED.
Since 1938, Blue Star
at 770 KMED.
I don't like to make too much fun of YouTube because I actually like a lot of their music, especially their older music. But, yeah, I like that one, Desire. I mean, it's a good stuff. They know how to rock. I like that. I just don't want him to rock off the – just calm down, Bono, because he did claim he was going to drive his truck off a cliff if Trump won. And
don't you miss the days when, you know, per Elvis, when he was asked something about politics, he said, well, I'm just an entertainer. We're interested in hearing you sing or play your music. That's what you're being paid to do. You're not a Rhodes Scholar. We don't want to know what you happen to think about economics.
I'm thinking of a book from, was it Ann Coulter, Shut Up and Sing? I think she wrote
a
number
of
years ago.
Stay in your lane. I mean, I'm not trying to be condescending about it, but, you know, I'm not going to lecture some guy who's working at a nuclear reactor about how to handle the plant, because that's just, I don't know anything about that stuff, so I keep my mouth shut.
Point well taken. Eric Peters with me this morning, 770-5633. Question or comment on maybe a car or a truck you're looking at here. And I had a listener who emailed me last night about this, Eric. His name is Darren. Mm-hmm. He says, Bill, Eric Peters' segment on Wednesday is one of my favorite segments of the week. Thanks for always having great guests and giving your audience something they can use. But here's a question for Eric. My 23-year-old son has been offered a 1996 Tacoma XL with 165,000 miles on it. But the Tacoma was used on the road and on the farm. So it's had some hard miles towing hay and rough terrain, full cargo bed, all kinds of materials. And the truck's been in storage the last 4 years. And the mechanic has already told me, my son, it'll take at least $2,500 to update the hoses, seals, fluids, brakes. Plus, there's an undiagnosed electrical problem that is draining the battery, so add a few more bucks to that. And the drive shaft needs some work because the transmission is slipping too, so add some more dollars again. The conceivable cost to get the Tacoma road-ready could be as high as $4,000. So is it worth it for my son to put his money into reconditioning the Tacoma, or would it be wiser to save his cash and keep looking for a newer vehicle, maybe less wear, lower mileage, lower startup costs? Do you have an opinion on something like that? You know,
four grand
on a 96 Tacoma to get it shipshape. What do you think?
Well, let me preface this by saying that I think that hard use is less important than poor maintenance. You know, it would be a good thing to know how the vehicle was maintained prior to this guy acquiring it, because that's going to be determinative. And the next thing, too, is to determine the overall mechanical soundness of the vehicle. You know, and that's simple enough to do by doing things like a compression test on the engine and so on to see if it's essentially sound. And with the mileage that that you mentioned, it ought to be. Those things tend to, that Toyota V6 will usually run 250,000 plus before anything significant goes wrong with it. And as far as the repair costs, I can't imagine it would cost that much, particularly if you're willing to do it yourself. You know, replacing some gaskets and seals and so on is not that expensive. Now, it might be expensive if you pay a professional mechanic to do it. But in any event, let's say hypothetically it's even $4,000. What kind of a vehicle could you get that's worth anything today in the used car market for $4,000?
Not a whole lot. At least not a whole lot that's worth much. And you also got to figure a 96 Tacoma, even though that's what 28 years old.
Yep.
That vehicle though is known for great longevity, availability of parts, and pretty much rock solid, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, immensely tough. So, you know, let's say they put $4,000 into it and bring it back up to, you know, fully sound operational condition. That's something that this guy, he's 23 years old, is probably going to get 10, 15 years out of easily. And if he can get that for $4,000, I'd say it's money well spent.
Okay, very good. So just make a good deal on the Tacoma and $4,000 or $5,000 put into it. You've got a good solid vehicle. Okay, we'll call that a good recommendation. 656, let me go to line two. Hello, you're on with Eric Peters. Who's this?
Good morning, this is Jim.
How you doing?
Yes, good. Hey, I wanted to ask Eric if he thinks it's a good idea. I was thinking of a bunch of us get a GoFundMe fund going here for you and go to Lithia Motors and order you a all-wheel drive Hellcat so you can scramble up to the towers.
Getting me one. Oh, okay.
Yes. I like everything about that, with the exception of one thing. Skip the all-wheel drive. Make it fun. Stick with the rear-wheel drive.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Well, if it was going to be my engineering vehicle, though, I'd need the all-wheel, Eric, but point well taken. Hey, you're very fun. Thanks for the call. That's I really appreciate that.
All right. See you, Bill.
I'll put a GoFundMe out there. Yeah, Bill needs a Hellcat all-wheel drive to make it up the hill to tower sites. All right. Speaking of a four-wheel drive and all the rest of it here, this week maybe you did it last week, but the 2025 Lincoln Corsair, what say you? What's the story of that vehicle?
Well, it's an interesting thing. Well, first of all, let me preface by just giving a brief description of it. It's Lincoln's entry-level and smallest vehicle, so it's a shared platform vehicle with the Ford Escape, but you wouldn't know it to look at it, which is quite remarkable. It's not one of those really quickie jobs that the manufacturers often do.
You know, taking a look at it now on your article, it looks a little beefier than the Ford Escape, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks longer, bigger, more substantial, and yet it is almost exactly the same length. It's really interesting if you park one next to an Escape, and then you realize, they're pretty much the same size, and they're fraternal twins. It's quite remarkable. But the thing about it that I think is more interesting is that it is relatively affordable for a luxury brand vehicle, and especially relative to what it would cost you to buy something like a loaded or comparably equipped Ford Escape. Not that there's anything wrong with the Escape, but hey, it'd be nicer to drive the Lincoln, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Especially since you can get the Lincoln with nice things like massaging seats that aren't available in the Ford.
Ooh, massaging. You know, I've never had a car that had massaging seats. Have you ever test drove one?
Many, and I highly recommend it. You know, for me, it's one of the things that is a mighty improvement in terms of new cars. If you have a sore back like I often have, having that feature is, it's kind of comparable to when heated seats first came out. You know, once you have the heated seats, it's very hard to not have the heated seats.
You never want to go back there. Well, I know that's the way my wife Linda is about that. Heated seats are that, especially in the wintertime. Oh, man. You know, you may not be able to get the heat right away in your vehicle, but boy, you always got the heat in the seat. And that's what matters.
Yep. It's super cozy. It's a really nice thing to have.
All right. So this is, it looks bigger and beefier than a Ford Escape, this Lincoln. Is this a plug-in hybrid? Because I know it's another article you've been talking about
recently. Yeah, the one they sent me is. Now, they don't all come that way, but it's available. And so it's similar to other ones on the market in that if you want to, you can plug it in and charge it at home, and you can drive it then about 27 miles on electric power, which is nice.
Yeah.
And even nicer is that you don't have to plug it in. And in that way, it's kind of a thumb in the eye to these pushers of purely plug-in vehicles that you have to plug in.
Wouldn't it be interesting if in the upcoming Trump, in the Trump administration, we get to the point where plug-in hybrids end up being, we relax on that because the apparatchiks mm-hmm. don't like that because they don't like the fact that you can actually have a motor in it too, or an engine, internal combustion engine.
Right? Michael Reagan, the current head of the EPA, has bared his fangs on that. He's very, very upset that a lot of people who buy these plug-in hybrids aren't plugging them in enough.
Well, that's just it. It's like we plug them in if we feel like it, and we don't if we don't. It is, you know, our choice as an American, or at least it used to be that way.
Yeah, which shows what their intent is, you know, because it's not about emissions. These things emit essentially nothing at this point. It's about having the flexibility and the freedom to not be tethered to a cord.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing about this Lincoln, which is quite intriguing, is that the price isn't bad, about $40,000 for the for the starting luxury model. It's pretty nice stuff.
I mean, if you look at what's available today, you know, for $40,000, there's really not that much. And, you know, if you do some cross-shopping, if you look at a Ford Escape, you know, it comes standard with a little three-cylinder engine. You know, the Lincoln version comes with a 2-liter engine that's much more powerful, as well as many more amenities. So if you try to comparably equip the Escape, you can get the 2-liter engine optionally, you know, in a higher trim, and then you add in all the luxury options. You're really not that far away from what it would cost you to just go ahead and buy the Lincoln.
Sarah, I think we would get to the day, though, in which you would talk about the 4-cylinder option as the luxury engine in a car, Eric?
Yeah. Isn't that startling?
Yeah. Well,
and hopefully Orange Man will start to dial that back. You know, it's very easy for him to do that, particularly, you know, you mentioned the Chevron ruling. Now he's got some juridical basis for doing that, as well as a constitutional basis for doing it.
Yep. It's all going to be about who does he put in the agencies. That's going to be the huge battle in the upcoming months, that's for sure. All right. And assuming that they're not going to be performing a lot of lawfare on him right now to keep him from getting in. We just don't know right now, because I think right now the left is reeling in shock. They still can't quite believe it, that our democracy voted the wrong way.
Kind of thing. A lot could happen in the next 2 months. You know, so we've got to hold our breath and wait and see.
And saddle up if need be, all right? Eric, thanks so much. EPautos.com, great site, great commentary, too, and you can please support that. I appreciate that. And we'll talk with you next Wednesday, Eric. Be well.
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, by the way, what's in the driveway for next Wednesday?
Oh, well, the Lincoln goes back tomorrow, but I'm getting a Chevy Silverado pickup on Thursday.
Very good. Looking forward to hearing that next Wednesday, okay? Thanks, Eric.
Sounds good.